Afterward. Knowledge and love are thus revealed as the two cosmic forces which are apparently separate in nature, but which spring from the same potency and source. Giordano Bruno, 1548 to 1600. When Bernardo graciously asked me to write an afterword for this book, he was still in the process of writing the last chapters, polishing and annotating the manuscript, and preparing it for presentation to his publisher. Our conversations started in August of 2012 and have continued to unfold into one of the more remarkable relationships I have experienced in my entire professional and personal life. Bernardo was interested in speaking with a transpersonal, young-influenced psychotherapist, and I was interested in sharing ideas with this remarkable, intellectually diverse, and energetic thinker over a generation younger than myself. I received my undergraduate baccalaureate degree in general history studies during the late 1960s, at a time of tumultuous social and cultural change. This opening up to an expanded world view was amplified by my passion for understanding other times and other places in which mankind was engaging the world in similar ways through different metaphors, cultures, and languages. Despite these differences, most enlightened human beings in history were essentially in agreement with what Aldous Huxley named the perennial philosophy, the philosophy of mind at large, the esoteric wellspring that ran deep below the world of superficial appearances. The perennial philosophy is an inspired convergence into remarkably similar and parsimonious spiritual truths, or cosmologies of mind, that have remained up to date and vital from century to century, right up to the latest quantum cosmologies of the 21st century. Today's scientists, shutting up and calculating the quantum foam, seem curiously blind to this. It is clear and obvious to me that mainstream science has no clue about the nature of consciousness. Nor can current scientific methodology even ask the basic questions needed to even begin to study the nature of consciousness. The standard scientific story is that, obviously, mind is produced by the brain and that all aspects of consciousness can be reduced to electrochemical events between neurons. Anyone who dares to suggest otherwise is obviously woo-woo, a fraud, or a pseudoscientist. Yet no one, no scientist, no philosopher, no self-appointed guardian of media truth, can even begin to explain how purely physical brain events could ever squirt out subjective experiences. In this century of the brain, apparently the only acceptable way to talk about consciousness or mind is in the language of materialist cognitive science or neuroscience. The mere whiff of any alternative attracts suppression. It was in the context of my own personal and professional journey, during which I pondered the issues mentioned earlier, that I made the decision to contact Bernardo. This decision was based primarily upon what felt like an impersonal impulse on my part. As a practicing transpersonal psychologist, I will take the liberty to use Jungian terminology at this point. My reaching out to Bernardo was an archetype seeking to actualize, within the constellation of my own journey, the validation, mentoring, and encouraging of a younger, metaphysically inclined scientist who was undergoing the agony of the collapse of appearances. His rational personal self was beginning to encounter the deeper, irrational, impersonal, unconscious forces that were welling up from his inner depths. My intuition was that Bernardo was experiencing a transformation, a shedding of his former personal self, and an encounter with a powerful unconscious inner realm. Like the shaman's agonizing inner journey, the personal self experiences a form of death or annihilation as the powerful, impersonal, unconscious self emerges. This is a disconcerting experience. One can feel alone as one crosses an ontological boundary away from the familiar world, and the language describing that familiar reality becomes lost. Being unfolds impersonally, and one experiences life as a mystery. All former belief systems become dysfunctional, anchorless, and with no life support. One loses the sense of being in control, realizing that one was never in control to begin with. One awakens and discovers that one is simply the space where the story of life and identity is dreamt. One goes through the death throes of a hell realm that slowly gives way to subjective awareness without a personal story, and then, eventually, to the liberating feeling that we are the space of interconnected human experience, driven by unconditional love and compassion. The language of the other world arises in dreamlike metaphors. I felt a strong impulse to reach out to Bernardo, and, with hindsight, I can see it as an unconscious wish to validate his work and encourage him to participate in the metaphysics of the third scientific revolution. This revolution is not likely to occur within the establishment universities and research institutions that require conformity in thinking. This radical turnabout in the way scientists conceive and interpret natural phenomena requires new interdisciplinary thinkers like Bernardo. It requires a change in focus from analysis to synthesis. It requires freedom from institutional restrictions and an ability to pursue a wide range of horizontal knowledge. From all this, a new conceptual basis will emerge to explain the origin of life, the evolution of increasing complexity, and the miraculous organizing potency of nature that have led to self-aware sentient life, consciousness, and the astounding mystery of I Am. Everything points to an imminent order that Gregory Bateson calls the larger mind. This afterword, in some fashion, rounds the circle from the ancient philosophy of as above, so below, to Bernardo's concise, updated metaphors for the nature of consciousness, the human mind, and the brain. He has brought a brand new way of seeing the ancient idea of infinite mind. Although written in a personal and breezy tone, this book is a vast philosophical endeavor. It captures big-picture ideas in a manner accessible to a wider audience. My contribution here has been to try and relate this big picture back to Bernardo's remarkable interior life as he wrote this book. The quote that opens this afterword is from Giordano Bruno, born in Nola, Kingdom of Naples. Bruno had a tragic life that ended on February 17, 1600, in Campo dei Fiori, a central Roman market square. He was burnt at the stake after Pope Clement VIII declared him a heretic. The numerous charges against Bruno included heresy in matters of dogmatic theology, involving some of the basic doctrines of his philosophy and cosmology. Bruno claimed that Copernicus and Galileo had not gone far enough by merely replacing a geocentric cosmology with a heliocentric one. He believed in an infinite, acentric universe, holding perhaps an infinitude of Earth-like planets. His great strength and eventual horrific death were the result of his vociferous belief in free thinking, his extraordinary memory, keen intellect, and ability to grasp a wide diversity of ancient philosophers, mathematicians, and cosmologists. His once heretical cosmology is now indispensable to contemporary science. It links the immeasurably large to the infinitesimally small. Indeed, Bruno's cosmology united Eastern and Western thinking by precisely formulating three of the key assumptions of contemporary cosmology: the unity of the universe, its uniformity, homogeneity, and isotropy, and the universal applicability of its laws. I share Bruno's story in this afterword for obvious reasons. Bernardo has just begun his journey across the ontological boundary. He directly experiences the apprehension of the heart, or the movement from doing into infinite being. My encountering him has given me hope for our future as human beings, who must find a way back to the meaning and enchantment of direct experience. Peace and Out. Rick Stewart, PhD, State College, Pennsylvania, May 2013.